Underground Espionage episode 59. Tara, how is it going?
It's
still going.
It's going, but it's fine.
Yeah, it's still going. Tara's surgery next week.
Tuesday, 7/7, good numbers.
So excited.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, but you know, you've been really in good spirits overall. I mean, we did get to go to the Analog Outlaw Fair. We wheeled you around.
I got to go outside and play.
You got to go for bye-bye in the car.
Yeah.
But Analog Outlaw was great. Shout out, of course, to Crystal. Just did an amazing job putting it together. Grabbed some really cool stuff. Met some cool people.
Somehow we didn't get any pornography.
We got a couple cool zines.
Oh, that's right. We did. I lied. No, we got bondage zines.
Well,
okay.
Yeah, but we did.
I was like, those don't count.
Well, we're right because we did also forget to go back. Because with fairs, sometimes you make a round. You're like, I'll make sure to go back. You just kind of want to see everything. But then forgot to go get these. There was a great booth with really cool bondage zines, like magazines.
Yes. And
meant to go back to get those before we left. Ended up just, you know, you see people, yeah. You talk, all of a sudden you jet and you're like, oh shoot, I forgot. But we, you know, we'll be able to circle around and get those, you know, other ways.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was really, really cool. And just, you know, those things are great. You get to just see what's so many different things out there. I love the Less Than Zero paperback I got with like the movie cover, you know, now a major motion picture.
I was so funny when I was at the dais table. And then, of course,
shout out to Ryan.
And then this guy walked up to like say hi and he was like, I can't believe the amount of porn that people are buying. It's like, don't they know it's always available? I'm like, no, dude, like you don't understand. Like this is primo stuff here. Well, yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's vintage. It's great.
And like, it definitely started off more as, and there is obviously still a lot of porn and vintage porn there. And I think the first one was way more heavy porn.
Yeah.
And now it's expanded into more.
There's like esoteric books. Yeah, paperbacks. And handmade zines and paperbacks.
Yeah, so it is
real.
But I mean, porn is still, I think, the what you think of when you think of Analog Outlaw.
Maybe that's just what we think of.
Well, but I mean, there still is plenty of porn.
No, it's true.
You know?
It's true. It's great.
But really, really cool. But it's just great to be able to take you out in the chair because, you know, it's like you are able to, you've done your puppet.
Sash,
with the crutches, but you do get exhausted. I mean, within minutes, basically, you're literally pulling your leg.
I have to drag my whole leg. I tie it to the crutch, and then I have to drag it. So then I use one arm to be mobile and the other arm to drag. Yeah, it's a little tiring, you know, and there's some, you know, yeah. I'm not well.
yeah. But I mean, you obviously, your attitude has been incredible throughout this. Not to say there hasn't been moments of, you know, just despair because it just feels like it's not. It does feel at this point that this is just
like
our
my life
now.
Forever. I'm never going to walk again. Like, I'm just going to be just like this thing. I like the thing that's like making me like I've had a few moments where it's never going to be normal again. I want to sit in a car normally. Like, I want to sit in the front seat of a car. Even we just tried to take an Uber.
We did.
I got an Uber XL. And it was like, I thought it would be like an SUV with two seats, but it had a bench seat. So then I have to like slide in and like put my leg up. And I just would like
Which
to
is better, actually.
It's good, but I want to sit in a chair normally.
You just want that experience.
But I can't get in a car by myself. You know what I mean? Like, I can't drive. Like, when will I drive again? When will I be able to sit in the front seat of a fucking car again? Like, I would like to sit in a chair.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would like to go to, like, a restaurant and sit down in a chair. Doesn't that sound awesome?
These are the exciting things.
God. Like, or get out of bed like a normal person and not have to, like, map my strategy. Because, like, everyone, try to get out of bed with one leg straight and you can't move it like a dead leg. So you can't, it's like, I feel like I'm falling because like you're always stiff and weird in the morning. It is weird. It's all right. I don't want to complain because it's like, I got, you know, there's so many things like that I really should not bitch. I'm at the home stretch here.
We're in the home stretch. We got our great package from Vinegar Syndrome, stacked up on titles, mainly, of course, just Saturn's Core, new ones and some old ones we needed to fill in.
Such a fat pack.
So really excited for that. Speaking of Saturn's Core, incredibly excited about the just-announced Flesh Eaters from Outer Space.
That looks amazing.
Looks amazing. Came out today. You gotta... I mean, that's just... It seems like that one is just made specifically for us, and even in the description, it mentions 80s shopping malls, which fits perfectly with what we are going to be talking about today.
Are you going to say, like, the other things we got?
Well, I mean, we'll dole them out, but we got the new ones from this year that we hadn't got yet, Deadwood Park, as well as Dead Hunt, so excited for those. But look, we're just going to... Oh, and the David the Rock Nelson Volume 3. So we got all those.
And then we were kind of excited. Waffling on, like, what to discuss today. We were like, do we do Gut Pile?
Right, or...
Or do we do Wildwood?
And we ended up doing Wildwood, which is one of the only non-Saturn's Core things we got an AGFA. It's an AGFA title. But it felt right. Look, we got 4th of July coming up this week. It's summer. And it felt like maybe this would be a good vibe for today's episode, and it turns out it was. We were very excited to discuss Wildwood, New Jersey, as well as its supplements, especially the Mall City.
It was a nice distraction.
It's what we needed in things we've been discussing about even like with Analog Outlaw, just this thing about being in person, being around things, just meeting people in person, offline,
coping with the modern technological world.
So excited to talk about Wildwood, New Jersey today. But yeah, make sure to go pick up the new Saturn's Core. As always, support Saturn's Core. I mean, there's a lot of great stuff came out today. Vinegar Syndrome did Lady in White,
which we
talked about.
Yeah,
that you just on a whim, it looked good. You threw it on. Yeah. We absolutely loved it. And so very excited to pick that up. It looks really great. The new AGFA looks great. A collection of some Something Weird, Teenage Riot movie party, it's called, with old, you know, juvenile 50s, juvenile, you know, exploitation movies. Yes. So that looks really good. New Melusine. Oh, new Melusine, which is great. And it's actually probably a movie that we're going to be doing maybe even next because of something we just received. But they just put out a triple feature of the Roger Watkins porns, Corruption, The Pink Ladies, and Her Name Was Lisa.
Ooh.
But coincidentally, we did procure a wonderful original poster of Her Name Was Lisa. So I was like, you know, maybe that's just inspiration.
And then and describing to a friend, we were like, have you ever seen Her Name Was Lisa? It's like, if you want to be really sad and you want to jerk off, you know, you want to be progressively more depressed, and then just kind of like devolve from there. If that's what gets you rock hard, is watching someone's life fall apart and then having them, you know, die a tragic death.
You know what? I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Next episode is going to be Her Name Was Lisa.
Just
going to go ahead and just shout it
you
out.
I think that's a good post surgery.
I think it's a perfect post surgery.
Oh my
thing.
God. I'm going to be like.
I think it's a perfect post surgery.
That is going to be wild. I'm going to have. Because, like, I'm actually, like, getting cut open. They're removing whatever is in my knee, the tumor, and anything else that may be in there. So I don't know how the recovery is going to be.
I don't know how long, when next episode is going to be. It could be
easy peasy, greatest thing ever, or it could be rough. So I don't know what it's like, but I am really into the idea of being all doped up.
Yeah,
having a crazy something on my knee and then watching Her Name Was Lisa.
But yeah, I'm
so
excited.
Weak.
I'm excited to get a frame for that.
Yeah,
and very, very, very excited. That was a very exciting grab we got.
Yeah,
just last night. But
And then we also got a nice pack from a friend in Chicago.
Oh, amazing!
The hot Jarniera.
Yes.
Like, oh my God, that was a day brightener.
Yeah. So no, again, shout outs, the messages, the packages. I believe we have another one from a friend possibly sitting up at the post office currently.
And I'm really excited that, you know, when you're under the weather, that's the best time to pull out 3XL Manowar. Giant. It
looks
t-shirt.
Great. The Kings of Metal.
Thanks, Tim.
Like 3XL. Yeah, yeah. No, look. Shout out to everyone who's been just, you know, sending all the...
When you can't wear pants, just wear a 3XL t-shirt.
The thing is, you kill a 3X and 2XL shirt. Like, you really own it, and I love seeing you in them.
Yeah, well, it's great. No pants necessary. Just...
Well, again, it just makes... It brings me to, like, 80s mall, just, like, some metal chick just, like, waking up, throwing on, like, a metal shirt and just no pants.
I love shirts.
Padding around the house.
It's one of my favorite outfits, shirts, no pants. It's a great one.
But actually, you don't have pants on, but you have your compression stockings on, so it kind of just looks like you have...
compression socks.
Hey, look, they honestly... You know what? They have game-changer and have made the pain so much different for you and the swelling so much different. Because there was some dark moments.
But you know, the compression socks, I like the thigh high. They give you a butt lift. They look kinky. Like, I gotta recommend, if you're a person who wears compression socks up to your knees, I suggest going all the way up to the thigh, because then it gives you this thing. So I guess, like, if the knee is always kind of funky or, like, whatever, they have to chop the whole leg off, we could figure out a cool kink out of that, Mike. I mean, I think that's an automatic kink. Like, maybe if I have, like, a knee guard, that'll help too. But, like, we got to work. You know, I got no problem pivoting,
figuring that out. I mean,
just whatever it is, I'd like it to be able to allow me to sit in a chair. Just please, I want to sit in a chair with a leg. I want to bend my knee. It's going to be amazing.
It is going to be amazing. Well, before we get into Wildwood, New Jersey, of course, Tara, you always have some good Tara news. And this one, you did tell me a little bit about this story, and it's one I hadn't heard, but I was like, you got this. This is for the podcast, so let's get it.
So funny. Like, sometimes I'm reluctant to discuss things that I feel like everybody's already reading about and talking about and chatting about and interested in, but I don't know that this one is making the rounds quite yet, because it's new. It has new developments, and there's not like a Netflix doc about it yet, but
this one has so many
twists and turns that I think that it's gonna happen. So it is the story of Bernadette Vandermeer, who was, and David Vandermeer. So, you know what? I'm gonna shoot from the hip. Okay, so there was this couple that were celebrating their 10-year anniversary in August. Hey, same month as our anniversary.
Hey, look at that.
Of 2006, and they went up hiking. They did something that we would never do. They went up on a big old hike, just like in a like cliffhanger that. Wonderful film that we just watched.
We did rewatch Cliffhanger for the first time, and I know exactly the last time I saw it. I was on tour in a hotel room in a Motel 6. I don't remember the city, but it was the last time I watched it. But better than ever this time watched.
But you know what's weird? Okay, just to take a little Tara sidestep. Whenever I watch Cliffhanger, like, big Stallone fan here, family, big fans, like anything, I'll watch any Stallone anytime. I remember watching it every time I would weep at the beginning part. And I was like, I don't want to watch Cliffhanger because then I cry for 10 minutes and then I have to watch the rest of an action movie. But this time it wasn't even like I felt like crying. It was, am I cold and hard?
No,
now?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Isn't it weird? Something... Like, I used to like weep. I would think of Cliffhanger as like the saddest movie ever. And I watched this one and I'm like, eh.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think it's because of our disdain for rock climbing these days.
Yeah.
We say that with our loving wink wink to our friends who are very...
Well, they're not out in the wild as much.
I know, but
they're not like this type of bullshit.
Just kidding.
They're not with helicopters.
Just kidding.
I'm not fucking kidding. I'm not going rock climbing. I don't want to. Clearly I can't. You're gonna drag my fucking ass.
We like to just rib, and of course we support our friends who are making themselves better, getting healthy.
Look, I support their fitness. I don't have to support the way they do it.
Tara. So bad.
You know, she's in a place right now. But I do support their fitness, and I think it's wonderful. Just, I don't want to climb up a rock. Anyway, so Cliffhanger, not as, like weeping-inducing as it was when I was younger. Take that as you will. See, tell me how you feel, everyone else. Lithgow, an amazing performance by John Lithgow in that. I stand by it. Love Cliffhanger. It's fantastic.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
It's
yeah.
relaxing because you're like, I will never Henry be Portrait in this situation. Henry Portrait of
a Serial Killer. I didn't realize he went on to become a climber after murdering.
Yeah, it's a rescue climber.
I didn't realize, you know, concurrently with when he was doing Palace, that like Bonnie Prince Billy was also in Cliffhanger. Tricky is in it. Yeah.
An unlikable character ever. Just like such a little, you know, FBI whiny bitch. It's crazy. So here we go. So a couple wants to celebrate their anniversary. They go rock climbing up in Utah. And then in the words of the husband, he wanted to move their backpack so he could take a better picture. And then he turned around and his wife was gone. In their words, he said, all he heard was a gasp and she was gone, says one of their friends who remembers her bestie as a devout Christian and devoted wife. That's how generous she was, recalls Hinch. She didn't want to bother David by being in distress, so she just let herself fall.
Just
can you imagine just like, your
friend? Oh, I don't want to bother you. I'm just falling off a cliff.
Falling off a cliff. I don't want to bother my husband. Like, that was the takeaway. So they go up. It's their 10-year anniversary. She falls off a cliff. He says she fell silently while he was retrieving their backpacks. Such a pity. Her friends were like, that's what a good person she was. She didn't want to distress her husband by shouting out as she fell over a cliff. I thought that was a great part of the story. Anyway, there's so many great parts of the story because it takes many twists and turns. As it also turns out, the husband had increased their life insurance policy from $100,000 payout to $500,000. And at the time, it was deemed an accidental death. When it was investigated, the investigators noted his story changed a little bit and the details would kind of morph. However, they did declare that it was an accidental death, as one would when somebody falls off a cliff, because you're like, well, you know what? If you're rolling up a cliff like that, people might fall off, right? So, flash forward 20 years and more details come out. So, in the meantime, before the more details come out, this cool guy who was a youth pastor at a megachurch.
So again, yeah, I think that was an important note because you were saying like,
I know,
she's
I'm kind of all
Christian.
Over the place. So
this is one of those like modern, yeah, like megachurch type family people. He's a youth pastor.
So this gentleman is a youth pastor at a megachurch while his wife is a Betty Boop impersonator at the MGM Grand Casino in Vegas. They're in Vegas, right? So after he gets the payout, the family noted, especially her family, that's when they thought something was amiss, that he began to live lavishly. He got a $565,000 payout. And what did he do with his payout? He bought a house and a car for one of the girls in the youth group.
Wow.
So it later turns out that he had been having an affair with one of the girls in the youth group. And 2 years later, he lost his job at the megachurch because he was giving alcohol to minors in the youth group. So he was fired for providing alcohol for minors. And then he had no health insurance. So what did he do? He had to marry the girl from the youth group to get health insurance. So then they are married and he becomes a yoga instructor.
Oh, wow. This guy. So, this guy.
Fast forward 20 years, and one of the friends of the girl that he did marry in 2008 was like, please come forward. You have to provide this information. You have to give this information to authorities. And what she said was that he told her that they could never be together unless his wife was dead. So once they had that information and she did come forward, they went in and started reinvestigating the case and eventually got enough information to arrest him. And that is pretty new, like that just happened. So he was arrested on June 22nd of this year, 2026, after new information came to light. And then on June 25th, 3 days later, he died after guards found him in the jail cell with self-inflicted wounds. So he killed himself in the jail cell. So it has so many twists and turns, down from a Vegas cocktail waitress, aspiring singer, Betty Boop impersonator, to a nefarious yoga instructing youth minister that is, you know, grooming kids and supplying them with alcohol and has a string of underage marriages. This story has got everything you want. You know?
Yeah,
I
like the idea of the wife who's just too, doesn't want to bother. I like falling off a cliff.
I know,
like,
that
I just,
part really got to.
I just.
She was an angel. She didn't want to bother anybody. Oh, she just, fell in peace.
I'm dying. Just let me fall in peace.
I don't want to startle anybody by crying out.
I like that.
You know what? If Mike ever tells the story that I was not being a bother and I wouldn't cry out as I fell, just everybody know it's not true. I will cry out.
Yeah, I mean, I think
all day I'm like, ow. Oh, I'm like, I get up and I'm like, oh, and he's like, what's going on? I'm like, I'm fine. I'm just moved. Oh, like in the other room, I'm sure that's all he hears is ow. That's pretty true.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think that anyone listening knows that there would be no chance that I would. I'm so bad at taking pictures that I wouldn't be taking the picture. First of all,
you're going to be like, let me stage this picture.
First.
Yeah. If Mike was like trying to make the picture good. And then also this is worth looking up. David Vandermeer, like he just looks like a piece of shit doing his like yoga moves.
Oh
like,
yeah.
I mean, yeah. He's terrible. Right. Yeah. Anyway, it's great. So Bernadette has finally found a little bit of justice.
I guess. I mean, you know, suicide, it's always like you always want to hear more. You know, it's always like a bummer when they don't
give it up. Like you want to know what the actual story was.
Or just going to talk you got like Dean Corll. You know, you never. I mean, he obviously didn't. He was killed. But like you always want to hear. You always wish you could.
Yeah, because that is a wild story. Well, I just wonder how many more like now.
Chicks he banged.
Yes, because don't you think they're going to come forward? Like, I think, like, when all this stuff comes out, there's going to be more than just one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, that's interesting. And supplying the youth group with alcohol?
I mean, look, they must have thought he was the coolest youth minister ever.
Man, I got in trouble in youth group. Almost got kicked out of church camp for taking caffeine pills, which is the most innate. Like, it's just the most tame thing
ever. You were like Elizabeth Berkley.
I know.
So excited.
I was, and that's kind of how they treated it. They were like, Tara's on drugs. They're like calling my parents saying I'm taking drugs. And I took a Vivarin. I took literally one. Me and my other friend Tara took like two or three. I think she snorted them. But I didn't snort them because I didn't think that was necessary. And then we drank like a bunch of like Mountain Dew and then went to a church picnic. Like, is that really drugs?
I mean, look.
Yeah. It's fun though.
Did you learn your lesson though?
No. I always took Vivarin as a teen. I was sleepy. I would like stay up all night.
I was always like afraid I wouldn't sleep. That was like, I'd be like, if I take that, I won't be able to sleep.
I did not sleep in the 90s. I never slept.
Yeah, no, I mean, I try not to drink like caffeine after, I always hated not being able to sleep.
It's not
I still
you
hate
didn't
it.
See that say, but you were a good sleeper. I had insomnia until like 2000.
Yeah.
I went to the hospital for insomnia.
Yeah.
It's wild. I'll tell that story later about hallucinating. I stayed up for 5 days once.
I mean, that's insane.
Yeah. It wasn't my. I wasn't, and it was not drug induced. I know that kind of sounds like it was.
There's been some sleepless nights here this summer, but that's okay. We're making it through. And in order to help us make it through, we thought we had to go look at summer's past. And we pulled out Wildwood, New Jersey, one we've been looking forward to seeing. And gotta say, it was the perfect thing to watch. In the zone we're in some things we've been thinking about and talking about, and absolutely a joy to watch Wildwood, New Jersey.
And, you know, it is like, it's interesting as you age because some things change slowly over time and it's like you almost don't realize it's happening. You're the frog in the pot getting boiled. And then sometimes, like, in maybe the year 2020 and 2021, things change abruptly and they never go back, which I think is the more rare situation.
I think you're right.
But this really kind of makes you understand the way the world has changed in 20 years and 30 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just all the the things that were so normal and so daily are no longer even kind of in the mix.
Totally.
Such as dropping a bunch of teenagers off at the boardwalk in Wildwood, New Jersey, and then having them take the shuttle back home at night. You know what I mean? Like meeting, even like watching the counter, the partner piece on here about the malls.
Oh man, yeah.
Just remembering being an unattended teen and just the way that you had so much autonomy and independence and the way you could converse with strangers, like adults, teens, all kinds of people. Like there was interactions that would never happen now. Can you imagine, like, you have like unattended teens at a mall now and they walk up to a table of people and everybody just starts talking?
Well, yeah, and yeah, and again, it's like, it's not like obviously like it's you know, people still go out on their, yeah. I mean, it's yes. not, but the difference is that it's not, well, I mean, ironically, as we're talking about a thing that was recorded, but there would be the way exception that yes. someone was filming yes. something like this. It's not recorded. There's no evidence the rest of your life. There's no, you know.
Yeah, they don't even know they're on it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm yeah. sure. I guarantee, like, you know, I'm sure some of the people interviewed, but, like, just this would be the rarity as opposed to the norm where literally every single thing is being documented at all times.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's that, but it's also just the freedom of which with which people are talking,
mm-hmm.
the things they're saying, but even just down to like at one point the payphone rings and like the girl picks it up and yeah. she's like, oh, it's for Dave. Like the
Dave!
Idea that like payphones were yes. like your means of communication.
You'd have people call you on the payphone.
Yeah. And that's the thing that I think about more than a lot of things is that you just the disconnect as far as like it wasn't easy to always connect.
Yes.
Like literally you, yes. like you had to either pick a time to meet and then like hope everyone meets. And if someone's plans changed, sometimes you didn't get that info. Yeah.
And you stay in touch by like, you go to Wildwood and meet your friends on the boardwalk, but you don't even know, you don't have a place to meet necessarily. You don't know if they're going to be there. You're just going to run into them.
Yeah, so like that kind of thing I like, and I like it in the way in our life in some ways, like when we go to our spot and all of a sudden we run into somebody or then run into somebody else. Like that's my favorite way.
And go to the book fair.
Of hanging out with somebody is basically like unplanned.
Yeah.
You know, like being able to just like run into somebody, meet.
See him at the show.
Yeah, or yeah, see him. We sit outside at our, you know, at Cantina and someone pops by and then we end up having dinner together, yeah. like that kind of stuff. And so that's kind of what this also reminded me of. And again, it's just the time when you were just unplugged. I mean, it's right, especially Wildwood, New Jersey. Mall City's 83, so that's more distant past. But Wildwood, New Jersey, I think it came out in 94, so but it seemed like it was recorded like 92.
I think it was 92, yeah.
So it's right before.
God, and what a time.
It's right mm-hmm. before everything really ramped up.
And I love that it's so regional. Like the diction, the way people speak, the accents. Like it is this, you know, you can see why, you know, Lana would love it. Because there
right.
is this nostalgic Americana, the slice of time that has passed, but it's like you watch it with like a romantic eye, just in terms of the beauty of the mothers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
just talking about all our mothers and their beauty. It's like this is that, right? Like watching Wildwood, New Jersey, I'm like, did fucking fashion peak in 92?
I mean,
it
yeah.
might
I mean, everything
have.
Peaked in
like
the 90s.
Every
it should have all ended.
Every hairdo that I see, I'm like, that is fantastic.
Yeah.
Every outfit, I'm like, that is great. This is what we should wear.
Yeah.
This is what we should have. The hair. Like, everything is just like primo, right? Like, it's unbelievable.
I mean,
so, yeah.
I think Y2K should have happened, basically. Like, it's like we should have
just
ended.
Like maybe it did. Maybe on one timeline it did.
Everything peaked in the 90s. But yeah, of course, one thing that has made this movie famous, notorious, or talked about is that Lana Del Rey used clips of it in the Diet Mountain Dew video. And if anyone knows us, knows what big Lana Del Rey fans
we are.
Do
you think we'll be in love forever?
And such a great video. And so, but it makes it, literally this whole movie plays like it. You're like waiting for the song to, like any Lana song to start. It just has that look and feel
but
to
I
it.
I think the reason that it just sits so perfectly with that is just the concept of it, like the teens say in Wildwood, it's like everything that happens there just seems so permanent.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's just people making these like core memories. They're having their first, you know, independent experiences right at the cusp of like being right prior to adulthood in that place where they don't have as many responsibilities. Maybe they have a summer job, but it's just that amazing place where, you know, looking back, even if it was shit, even if your teen years were terrible, you have these little bright spots that you just like hold with such nostalgia, because they're not, you know, that's a special part of your life that it's not going to happen again.
Yeah.
And then you see that in this.
Yeah. And that's the thing with nostalgia. It's a tricky thing because there's great things about it and about looking back and about that, those core feelings, like you said, Tara, that when you are under the spell of nostalgia, it can be very powerful. Then there's the bad side of it where you can get stuck, or not even stuck, but or when it just becomes this series of like, you know, Ghostbuster logo and you know,
well, you can't move forward,
but also you're stuck in just the image of it. I guess that's what I'm trying to say, is when you get stuck in just the image of nostalgia, as opposed to actually when it hits you deeply, and then you're able to take that and then inject it into your own life.
Yeah, and you continue having interests, and you continue looking at things. It's like my dad used to always say, he's like, you can't walk across the room backwards. You got to move forward.
Yeah. And like, obviously so much of what we do and talk about is stuff from the past, because that is where we are interested in, where we aren't super interested in most modern things, but we also aren't stuck in that mode. We take the feeling, inspiration, ideas from there and incorporate them into our lives now. So that, to me, is ultimately the difference of nostalgia being an inspiration and then nostalgia being a dead end. Yeah. It can be both. But something like Wildwood, New Jersey, to me, just gives me nostalgic inspiration.
Well, we talk about modern things, but they're in the modern underground, right?
Exactly. But I'm saying, and the thing,
and
that
we do like modern things. It's just like it's less interesting.
But 100%. But like you said, the people, especially in the underground, who are, you know, modern people that we talk about, they also look to the past for inspiration. But even like obviously something like Saturn's Core, you know, it's taking stuff from the 90s, the 80s, the 90s, you know, predominantly the 90s, but also into the 2000s, and bringing them out into the modern age to, you know, shine a light on that past, but then also to fill everyone with, again, nostalgic inspiration.
Because, I mean, that's what art is, right? It's understanding the culture and having something to add to it, to comment on it. And,
exactly.
You know, just seeing the culture of Wildwood, New Jersey in 1992 is inspiring, and it does spark feelings and thoughts. And I don't know, we say inspiring a lot, but
this episode, that's the word we're getting stuck on.
Yeah,
so,
I'm just gonna get stuck on it. I was inspired by the guy selling cherry twin pops and fudgy wedgies. And
okay.
I'm like, I want a fucking cherry twin pop.
So
I want a fudgy wedgie.
What this made me want, and there's a scene where guys on the beach are eating some sort of ice cream on a stick, and I couldn't tell exactly what it was, but what it made me want was, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was, I feel like it was some sort of clown thing with the nose.
Oh,
had
the bubble gum?
Right?
Yes. And it was like chocolate and vanilla. I love those. Yeah, it was okay. Kind of like a sherbet. Oh, yours was chocolate and vanilla.
Was it?
No, see, again, no, it was sort blue. It was like lemon. It was like a lemon ice.
I don't know.
It had a bubble gum nose. It was a clown. The red was cherry. No, yeah, I could eat those because I was allergic to chocolate as a kid.
Maybe there was variations.
Yeah.
Maybe there was a...
I had the strawberry daiquiri bar, but I couldn't eat it if there was chocolate. Like strawberry shortcake bar, sorry.
You know how I feel about that.
Yeah, it's really cool. I'm glad.
That it was a way for your parents to have you not eat chocolate and they lied to you.
Given all of my immune system issues and allergies, are you really going to fucking say that?
I think it might be
Cap.
I think it was Cap.
I know. You think it's Cap, which is, to me, just like unbelievably out of touch with reality. Like chances are that this knee tumor is completely caused by my immune system. And I have had anaphylactic allergic reactions in front of you. And yet you say... It's Cap that I couldn't eat chocolate. Well, you know what? Maybe it fucking was. You know? Maybe it fucking was.
I apologize for everything.
I didn't test it.
See? You didn't test it.
I didn't want to die. Back then, I'm a little more open to it now.
No. I apologize for everything I said up to this point. I'm filled with guilt.
It's all right. You're the right. You have the right to have your opinion. But the one that I do think was like corn and chocolate, I believe, but the one that was cola... Like, I think that was weird.
Well, because it had corn syrup in it.
Yes, cola has corn syrup in it. But the thing they did was, like, there has been things showing that a lot of, in the 80s, people had false positives for cola in allergy tests. So, like, cola is not really an allergen these days. So they kind of, like, even stopped testing for it. So
gotcha.
I think I could have actually had a Coca-Cola before the age of 14, but... You know what? Kept me out of trouble.
Tara, I'm glad.
Drinking Sprite.
I'm glad that you did not test your chocolate allergy, and I'm glad that you're here. I apologize for questioning it.
Oh, what are you going to fucking do? Anyway, I want a fudgy wudgy. I would like to eat the fudgy wudgy. But, you know, we have a few twins in this. But the thing I like about the opening closing on the twins singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. But what I really love about these twins is, one, they look like... this girl named Amy Martinez, who was in my kindergarten first grade class. We'll never forget Amy Martinez, the only other little redhead. And they sing the same wrong words.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Like, the words are all wrong. They're all jumbled up. But they do it together. And I appreciate that. You know what I mean? Like, I think how they're on the same wavelength, these kids.
Yeah.
Great job. And then we go into speaking to these amazing women... adult teens, elderly women, middle-aged women, the whole gamut.
I like the couple, the married couple. I like
the go-go dancers are my favorite.
The go-go dancers are definitely something special.
And the lady who does her own nails, and she was like, we call it childwood because everyone acts like a child. She says, you don't know anybody here. You can do anything you want. Nobody gives a shit. And I'm like, yes, that's great. Because she just said... Well, you see everybody you know here, and it's great, and you see everybody at the same time. And then she says you don't know anybody, and nobody gives a shit.
That,
and
so,
that's the joy
so that's,
of
I think,
being there.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things we're trying to get at as far as the difference. And just that thing of the time when you could just do shit, and it wasn't forever on your permanent record.
Yeah, you could kind of go there and just, like, be vacation mode.
Yeah.
But
also just hang out, or, like... you know, hit on girls or hit on guys, which is, like, all they end up talking about. And it's, like, totally fine. And, like, hey, maybe it went well. Maybe it didn't go well. But it's not on your permanent record.
Yeah.
It's just part of the summer.
You're not
even
going to talk to this fucking guy again.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, you hang out for a week, then he's gone. And then the chick was like, and I just cried the whole night knowing that I had to leave him. And then they don't ever talk to them again.
Yeah,
maybe they see him at Wildwood next year.
What a cool time, right?
Yeah.
Where you couldn't keep in touch because there was really, maybe you didn't get the number or, like, you know,
it was long distance.
There was, you know, exactly. And it was like, I'm not going to call long distance. That's going
to
cost me.
Oh, my God.
You know,
every time
that.
I would move and then I would try to keep in touch with my friends.
Yeah,
and I had
like,
to
no.
like time my parents would be like, you can talk for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I remember, like, one of my friends went to his grandma's house and then called me, and I talked to him for, like, 2 hours long distance, and he got in so much trouble because, like, the phone bill was insane. But, yeah, it was that type of shit.
Yeah,
but, yes,
yeah,
hitting on people, meeting your new boyfriend for the day, walking the boards, you know, up and down. You got unattended teens. You have these, like, wild attractions with wild prizes. You can have a fling. Like, you have families. You have friends. You have – it's like – what adventure, what trouble are you going to get into?
Exactly.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, and it was so fun, like, getting in, you know, doing the shit that you know you're not, you can't tell your parents, and getting into a little bit of trouble, riding your bike too far where you weren't supposed to, that kind of stuff. You
yeah.
know?
And then, I will say, and then everybody's at the ocean until, like, 3 o'clock, apparently, because you want to go to the, you know, while the weather's nice in the morning, but, like, that ocean... don't you kind of miss, like, the Atlantic Ocean is so different than the Pacific Ocean. I find this ocean is cold, and then all the beaches we go to, I get like, you got to watch your ass because you're going to get rolled. Like, yeah. The waves are strong around here, especially out of Malibu. But that chill-ass ocean.
Yeah, it looks really
it just
chill.
Like, I'm looking at it, it's, like, warm, and the waves are breaking really far out, so you know it's not going to, like, you know, drag you under and, like, beat you up. Like, it just seems like a really, like... chill place. You can like, just go stand like in waist deep water and just chill.
Yeah.
You know? Seems nice. That's all I'm saying. Maybe not the best for boogie boarding as we as we do enjoy. But yeah, I love the when we see a little hot couple and they both look like they have Steve Perry from Journey's haircut. You know, together.
Yeah. I mean,
like,
that's a lot of people in this.
And then a lot of people, like, talking about, like, what type of music do you like? And it's, like, punk.
Yeah.
But it's,
yeah.
like, I don't know. Yeah. Probably they like Journey, you know? and he's like, it's like me and Shannon. We're probably going to be together for the rest of the summer. And she's like, yeah.
Yeah, but I like the idea of, like, rest of the summer, but, like, that there's a hard cutoff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So
like,
what are you
we'll be together for the rest
that.
Of the summer.
But like after that, like, when am I don't even... I don't even know where this broad lives. You know,
yeah.
It's great.
It's so great. You
I
know?
Like the idea of the teens also coming there to get summer jobs and like
totally.
Trying to pay their rent while they're there by having the job so that they can stay in Wildwood the whole time. Like,
but also, too, even when they'll be like talking about the summer, be like, but then in September, like I'm going to like, you know, really like take things, you know, I got to take it seriously like in September. Like I love the idea of like this summer – you know, we're having a summer. You know what I mean? It's a different kind of summer.
It's a different kind of summer. That's true.
You know,
that's
we
true.
Have, it's more, it's
I
less.
I can't really go to the beach. I have a feeling after surgery, they're not going to let me get into a body of water.
Yeah.
Like on other things, we've gone into like pools and stuff, but I don't think I'll be able to if they cut me open.
Yeah.
Do you think I could swim?
Like now?
Yeah. No, you gotta bend your knee to like.
I would.
Maybe
I
shallow.
It's
yeah. It just seems like a bad idea.
Seems like a bad
Shit.
Idea.
Oh. You sure?
We did get invited to a pool, but I don't know. No, I don't want to trust it.
Well, they'll be so excited when people like. It's really weird when I'm rolling around in the wheelchair. Everybody smiles at me and they're very nice.
Yeah.
It's very weird. Like they look at
like,
me like they notice me
and smile and like.
It's very strange. I don't know if they like it make. I'm like, do I know this person?
Well,
like they're especially nice.
Yeah,
I'm in the wheelchair.
Yeah. Especially at Analog Outlaw. I mean, there is also possible like it's sometimes we met someone like I don't know.
Well, no, there I would say they were more rude to me than just like going up and down the street. Everybody's like super nice.
People definitely are. I mean, also you look amazing. You're definitely the hottest wheelchair.
No, I think they're trying to be nice because I'm in a wheelchair. They feel bad. It's super nice.
You look good. And I like the way the robe, it looks like you have like some sexy garters on right now.
Oh,
yeah.
The
way the sash.
Yeah, everybody, Mike's staring. So I have to tie.
Mike's staring at me. Everybody, Mike's staring.
I have to tie the something around my foot so that I can move it around. And then I have to have it always ready, so I tuck it into the top of my compression socks because if I lose it, then I can't reach down and get it. If my leg falls, it's excruciatingly painful. So I have to have a handle at all times. And this is the system that I've come up with. And I don't think that there is a system in place because I don't think that is even is a thing enough for people to have to deal with this. So anyway, it's some bullshit still. But I'm glad you like it aesthetically, Mike. That's great. I'll post some pictures of
it. Wow.
Well. That's what they're saying, that the appeal is it's different every night.
It's different.
You know what I mean? It's different every night. And I like these, I like the interviewing of when everybody says their names, like we're talking to like all the sets of ladies, and then, you know, you'll see two teens and they'll be like, I'm 13, but I passed for 16. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, everybody thinks I'm at least 16. The 13-year-old and the 15-year-old.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, my God. Like, they definitely look way... Like, is that what a 13-year-old looks like? I have no fucking idea.
No but, gauge anymore.
But what they say is, like, I'm sure everybody's mom worries everywhere. Don't go off the boardwalk. Don't lose nobody.
Yeah.
Like, those are the rules. Those, like, the moms are like, don't go off the boardwalk. You can go there unattended. You can be an unattended teen. Just don't lose anybody in your group. And don't go anywhere else. I mean, I think that's solid advice because, as the ladies explain later, that, you know, a lot of people lost their virginity at Wildwood and they did it on the beach. And it was
real romantic.
I love
how much they talk about losing virginity. That's also a big through line throughout. People regretting it, liking it. One girl's like, it hurt like hell. And then, like, afterwards, she's like, but then I thought about it. It was like real romantic.
Here's
like, we went out
said.
To the beach.
Well, I lost my virginity at Wildwood. I won't do the accent.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, everybody.
It hurt so much. I couldn't sit straight, but she said set straight. She's like, hurt so much. I couldn't set straight, but it was nice. Very romantic. It was out
that.
On a beach.
I love that. Yeah, that's
that
amazing.
Great. That was the trio of girls like that they were like
great.
Talking to in their hotel room. And the chick who was like lost her virginity to a guy because she thought he was hot and he was really popular. And so she didn't want to lose that opportunity. And as she's telling the story, she is chewing gum and drinking Coors Light with a straw.
What a vibe, you know.
So good.
Yeah.
Chewing. But I remember, oh, God, I miss chewing gum. That was the best. Like, I would chew gum and drink stuff with a straw. You know, it's total. I would totally fucking do that. Like, that's the best thing ever. But she was talking about how she loves how her teeth are white. But maybe that's why she's got nice teeth. She's chewing gum, keeping them clean, drinking through a straw, not staining them.
I like how you said I miss chewing gum. Like, you, like, I understand you can't chew gum, but I'm just saying, like, with your teeth and everything. But it's just a funny statement. Like, if someone was just randomly listening and didn't know about your teeth issues, they'd be like, you know, you can still chew
gum. That particular avenue of pleasure is gone for me, everyone. Much like bending my knee and sitting in chairs and writing.
But, like, the idea that gum is, like, this thing of the past that you can't get anymore.
God, I wish I could chew gum. Oh, Mike won't let me. He slaps it out of my mouth every time I put a stick of gum in my mouth. You look like a cow.
This is not true, everybody. I like that on record.
I mean, I know, like, I can't chew gum, though.
No, I know.
Like, Dennis says I'm not allowed to chew
Your
gum.
Your teeth are way too fucked up to chew gum. I know.
They aren't fucked up. They're just not real.
Well, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, you know, again, for my immune system, probably because I ate chocolate. You know what I mean?
Oh, now you're looking at me like
I'm looking at you. Maybe you sneaking. Look, I got better because I was bigger. When I was little, I could have a little reaction. It was big. But now I'm a big person. I'm a big adult. I can eat a little chocolate.
You're a big girl going out for a bye-bye.
When you see
me
eating a bunch of chocolate, I don't like it.
Take you out bye-bye.
Just a little bit of chocolate.
Take you out bye-bye in the car.
Shut up. Go bye-bye in the back. I want to sit in the front seat so fucking bad. Like, mate, I've pulled a seat all the way back to see if I could still get
we
in.
Couldn't.
No, we I tried. Can't get in. You would think with my short little stubby legs, but even then, it's just, oh, man, I would love it, though. Maybe, no, our car's pretty big. Anyway, one day I'll sit in the front seat of a car. Maybe. Fuck, who knows? Anyway. The doctor gets in there. He's like, oh, no, sorry, it's just straight now. You have a straight leg. Just be happy that you have a straight leg. Oh, my God.
Jesus.
It's really annoying. That would be annoying. They better bend that shit. Okay. Well, another thing I loved, talking to people running the booths, you know, talking about the hazards of their job. And, you know, as they're discussing with the ladies, like, who gives them a hard time, the customers are nice. And they were pretty positive, honestly. Everybody was fairly positive. But I noticed at one of the booths, the prizes were spectacular. Because at first I was like, oh, are they in like a little like bodega or like a party store? I don't know what you call them, like a 7-Eleven or something. Because it's like plywood and there's a bunch of cigarettes on the shelf. And then I realized No, those are the fucking prizes.
Dude, it seemed like at least we're going with it there.
No,
prizes.
And that's exactly what it was. So it's like you could trade in tickets or like win a bunch of Marlboros. Or you could get
a Dean Koontz book.
A Dean Koontz
book.
Hey,
maybe you could get Demon Seed.
And then or you can get a big pack of Kit Kats. You know what so I mean? Good. Like of all the things, it was like candy, like what are like trick or treat packages of candy, Siggy's and fucking Dean Koontz and bestsellers.
Well,
like you got to read something on the beach.
Well,
you
but
know?
This is where it leads into the part about talking about fighting because that one chick does talk about how like someone tried to throw stuff at her,
yeah.
and threw a ball at her because they lost, and then yeah. Then the section is like talking about all the fights the chicks get in.
Yeah.
And, like the one chick is the best, obviously.
The one who killed somebody? Two of the that's her. Yeah, no, she killed someone.
Well, she said she put him in the hospital. She said she killed.
No, one of them said that she put him in the hospital and they died later. And then she said she was not charged. I promise you.
I believe you. I believe you. I just
I'm
don't remember
fact
that.
Check and look at my notes.
I just remember she said she.
I put a girl in the hospital and she ended up dying.
Okay.
But she put a gun in my back.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And then the old girls started making fun of girls from Philly, saying that they were skinny and they had pop, like blow pop heads.
Yeah.
And that they just wanted to fight them.
So then you start getting you get the part of being a teen and being on your own and being in the 90s in Wildwood, New Jersey on the boardwalk, that the darkness of it, where it's like, oh yeah, there were definitely like crazy fights.
Yes.
And like crazy chick fights where they're just like punching each other and they're like drunk because they snuck in whiskey. Like it's not just like, let's be clear. It's not just, you know, ice cream on a stick and
yeah,
like,
and everybody like wholesomely walking around like, oh, can
no.
I kiss
like,
you and take your virginity?
No, of course not. It's totally
it's
dark
like brawls.
Too.
Yeah.
There's totally brawls. Putting chicks in the chicks putting other chicks in the hospital. I love when they're like one chick's like, yeah, I used to fight, but like I don't anymore. But like, you know what I mean? Like they're just talking about
I
the fighting.
I do not miss those years. Like, I swear, like from 13 to probably 16 was just like everybody wanted to fight. And they wanted to fight me a lot.
Well, I feel like I remember more chicks fighting, like physically fighting in high school than dudes.
Yes. It was always, I remember once, like two ladies I know that was sitting with at the lunch table started fighting. And then they ripped out so much hair.
Yeah.
And I like stood back and it came back and there was a plug of hair with scalp on it. She had like braids.
Yeah.
But they ripped one of the braids out, but jeez. Took a chunk of her scalp out with it. It was like bloody scalp on the fucking table in front. I guess it was 14, somewhere around there. And it was just like, God, they were fighting all the time.
Yes,
and I would just be like, and then I was pretty new with this like wild ass middle school in the rural Kentucky. And then they would all try to fight me. And I'm just like, I do not feel like fighting. Thank you so much.
So you get that part of it where you know that's happening. But when, the way is, I mean, this document is done really well because the way it bleeds into the part where they're all talking about fighting, especially
they all went and jumped me to see what I know. Five girls jumped me at once. Yeah. Five girls jumped me at once to see how I can handle myself.
That chick wants to be a doctor.
She sprayed me in the eyes with mace, so I beat her up.
Dude, yeah, she says she wants to be a doctor. Do you think she achieved her dreams?
Yes.
Do you think the go-go dancer, aka stripper, became the nutritionist that she was hoping
actually
for.
I thought that was a really achievable goal. I felt that was nice because she said she wanted to do that or be a nurse. And like,
that's, yes,
but
I
she
believe
could take
that.
A nutritionist program and like work at, you know, like some facility. I'm not saying like at a hospital, but she could work at like a school, you know, and be the nutritionist or at like at a convalescent center.
You think
old
she might have
home.
I agree. I think that's achievable. Do you think the fighter chick?
I worked with a chef once who had worked at one. And he was like, I'm so good at pureeing because he worked at like a retirement center, old folks home, and just pureed everything.
Do you think the fighter chick thinks doctor means nurse, which again might be more achievable for her?
No.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I don't think that.
Yeah.
I don't. I think she was just throwing words out. You know what I mean?
She's definitely a highlight of the movie for sure.
She's amazing. I love her cold shoulder shirt.
I like the goth chick.
I love
the
eyeliner.
I like the goth chick who obviously worked at some sort of haunted attraction at the thing. She's great.
She was there making a living for the summer, worked at the haunted house.
I was a fan of her. Yeah. She looked great. Straight, like nice straight red hair, it seemed.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's natural. Sometimes it just does that.
I was a fan.
Good for them. Yeah, dude. Well, and then they're talking about the funnel parties. Like, we're going to a funnel party.
Yeah.
Well, explain. What am I going to explain? Funneling?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's like, you can't stop. You chug a beer. It goes down the funnel. And then, like, they're a great part.
You ever
part.
Funneled a beer?
No, I don't. I hate doing shit like that, and I've never done that.
I mean, I guess we call them beer bongs.
No, I've never done shit.
I've tried, but I'm just not. It hurts my stomach.
I hate shit like that. I've never been like chug.
You know,
we are anti-shot people.
No shots.
I always hate it. I hate shit like that.
Same thing. I've never done that. And I didn't. I would find ways to get out of fights, and I don't know how because I was threatened with them once this chick sat on the bus and took an entire bottle of Tylenol while mean mugging me and staring at me. And she was like, as soon as we get off the bus, I'm going to beat your ass. And she kept like talking about it and telling everybody. So then this really large gal who had the tallest bangs I've ever seen in my life and amazing. Sprayed them. And she liked metal and she loved
like she'd be in this
giving
movie.
Guys hand jobs on the back of the
Whoa,
bus.
Hey, what's her name?
Her name was Kristen.
Hey, what's up, Kristen? Shout out to Kristen.
I know, man. God, she was fucking great. She would sing the Boobs Hang Low song really loud on the bus. She was quite crass. All kinds of fun stuff. So, and then she would change to your boobs hang low to your balls hang low. She said tallywhacker a lot. Anyway, she got off at my stop for me to like just stand in front of me so I could go home. So like crazy Tylenol
shout
chick.
Shout out to Kristen.
Yeah. The Tylenol chick went to jail, by the way.
I wonder what Kristen's up to.
I don't know. She was fucking great, man. She was funny. Funny as fuck. Smoked Marlboros on the back of the bus.
Kristen, I hope you're still giving hand jobs wherever you are.
I do too. She had great nails. I hope your boobs are hanging as low. He can tie them in a knot. You can tie them in a bow.
I love the two chicks talking about the funnel party because the one doesn't drink, but they have this great dynamic where they like kind of hate each other.
No, that's what they said. They said they fight all the time, but they stay together.
And then, and that's when she's talking about like, guys only care about like a body, like they can have a great ass and turn around like an ugly face, but they still want to fuck her. Like, and then like Magda, she's just a slut. Like, I like when they're calling out people's names.
But that's what I think is like. It was a question for the ages. I feel like, do guys care more about your face or your body? I mean, like, and I think that's something that is interesting. As you know, I feel that. I guess it just depends how bad either of them are.
I think it's a whole package and vibe and...
I think it's a vibe. Like, if you have a good vibe, you don't have to have either of those be good.
100%.
I mean, truly. Yes. Kristen was a great example.
Hey, come on. That's my girl, Kristen,
right? God damn, I wish...
Don't be talking ill about Kristen, you know what I mean?
Big.
Kristen, you know, protected my wife from getting beat up, all right? So don't talk bad about Kristen.
She did a few times. She said she'd get my back, and I was terrible of her not having my... I was terrified of her not having my back.
Hand jobs, she was really...
Yeah. And she had the wings on the sides. You know when the wings on the side?
And
the waterfall bangs on the top?
Kristen's my girl.
She tight-rolled her jeans, acid-wash jeans.
Kristen
so good.
Is my
with
girl.
Boots.
Look. You just gotta.
It's good luck.
Some people are literal people. Some people are, you know, are just going for the whole vibe and energy. Literal people are much more boring to me because they're just like, oh, she's hot. It's just like, well, yeah, there is that, but you know, give me the, you know, what's the whole deal? What's the whole package? Does she give?
Yeah,
hand
there are
jobs
people
the
who might be
bus?
Hot, but they're also more annoying than they are hot.
And they don't give
it's
hand
not
jobs.
Worth it.
They don't give hand jobs.
Yeah. They
in
don't.
The back of the bus.
They don't keep a roll of dimes in their purse so they can punch people.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you got to really
But
think
I do
about
like when
shit.
She's like, Magda's a slut. Like,
Magda's
so
a
good.
Slut.
Poor Magda. Shout out to Magda. You know
oh
what I mean?
God.
What are
and
you
then,
up to, Magda?
I thought, I mean, that was, like, fantastic. Hold on, wait. Oh. But also when they're, like, highlighting the friendships, like, I wish I could. One of them's named Michelle. It's like the lady with the baby. And the
yeah,
two, like,
great. They does her
ladies
nails.
In their
30s. Yeah.
And when they're just talking about why they're friends, and she's like, you know, some people come over to your house, and they don't even offer you a drink. They don't offer you a glass of water. You come over to Michelle's place, she'll throw the whole refrigerator in your face.
So
like,
good.
You know what I mean? Like, that type of thing. Oh, she'll throw the whole goddamn refrigerator on your ass. And then Michelle's like, yeah, she loves my sauce.
So
and I'm just
good.
Like, yes.
Yeah,
like, that is awesome. Like, that's, like a cool... supportive friendship. They have their like vacation plan. Like they have their like those are the people you want to go on vacation with. You can't go on vacation with all your friends. You know what I mean? You have to have the kind of like same vibe, like understanding when you get up. You know what you're going to enjoy doing together. Like, yeah. I feel like we're good with Gray.
Can you put up with me and Tara and just...
Yeah.
Like, how quickly are you going to just be like, okay, I'm done with that? Well, I feel bad for anybody who has to be around us for more than...
No, it's dripping with charm, baby.
Or do we give them great stories for the rest of their lives?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Who's going to be the entertainment on the vacation? Otherwise, it'd be boring.
You get something to talk about. You can talk about us when we're not there. It's
exactly.
Really,
it's great. Can you fucking believe what Mike and Dara were saying in the hot tub last night?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Right.
See, that's what we're here for.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. So, it's this type of situation, but I also enjoyed the go-go dancers at the end when they're talking about what would make somebody good for that position and for that job. And she was like, it's more than just dancing. You need personality and gumption.
I love that.
And I was like,
great word. Great word.
Gumption.
Great
like,
word.
That is right. She was like, you know, some people go to work, some people got to work a man.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is fucking brilliant. She's like, you're using your personality, you're using your body, and you're using your looks, but always got to remember, you got to check the cash.
Yeah, pointing to her body.
Yeah, well, pointing to her pussy.
Well, yeah, specifically.
Yeah, you know, if you ever get into trouble.
Yeah, hey.
Use what you got. And, like, I'm not saying that's what she should have to do. However,
if you want
I enjoyed her philosophical approach.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that she recognizes, like, hey, it's not for everybody. You know,
well,
and that's kind of how we feel about many things.
Well,
I don't think every job is for everybody.
I don't think anything's for everybody. Terry, you've also been reading The Happy Hooker. So
yes,
you've definitely been in a zone of like, yeah, man.
Yeah,
like,
Zaviera.
Why wouldn't you? Like, you know, because that book's great.
Yeah. And Zaviera is really discussing why she became such a successful madam in New York. And it's because, one, she actually liked to fuck. And she said that wasn't that common in the trade, so everybody wanted to employ her prior to her becoming her own boss, madam, because she didn't say no, right? And then she actually had business sense where she could delegate and see what needed to be done, and she said she just had the personality for it because she didn't pop off on people. She could maintain composure. And that she had been a business secretary at the UN, and so she understood like calm professionalism. She has executive skills. You know what I mean? Like, she can control her emotions. So that made her more successful than others who would, you know, couldn't de-escalate, couldn't control fights, couldn't handle personalities. And I think that's part of it as well, is just understanding how to handle a variety of people and personalities, and that's not really everybody's cup of tea.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's maintaining neutrality.
Shout out to all the professional ladies out there.
Yeah, it's an interesting book. It is, like, I will say, like, if you're reading big chunks of it, it's is a lot of fucking in it, you know. So,
oh, Tara, I know you're so against that.
No, I'm not against it. It's like sometimes you're like, it's just, you know. Like,
you warning people listening to this podcast that a book you're reading might have a little bit of sex in it, Tara?
Guess what? It's so much. But that's psychology, right?
I think the people are okay.
Almost done.
With that. I like that, you know, for all our sensitive listeners out there. You know, maybe the book The Happy Hooker isn't for you.
Well, if you don't want to read about all types of people banging.
Who doesn't?
All the ways. All the ways. You know what I mean? Every type that you can do. It's covered. It's great. Fun book. That's right. When fall hits, I'm going to straighten up. That was the quote.
I love that. I love that feeling. Like, this summer, I'm gonna party. I'm going to do my thing. But September 1st.
I made sure to write it down. But then ending on the note of everybody discussing their fathers, like, you know. Nobody's father's present, and then they're like, I think it's really important, like, to have a dad in your life and to connect with him. Dad, if you're out there, I'm gonna look for you soon.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start looking for you soon. That's what
so
she said.
Good.
I was just like, oh my God. So yeah, just really kind of getting a glimpse into all of their lives, into what they're interested in and to what motivates them to be there. Just really getting
it's
that.
Just, again, you said it's that slice of Americana.
Slice of humanity.
It's a slice of American culture that is gone, at least in this way.
Yeah.
One thing we actually haven't even noted, which is crazy, is that one of the things that makes us stand out is it's shot on Super 8. So it looks amazing.
Yeah.
The amazing Super 8. And like you said, it's just a look back at something that can't and doesn't exist anymore. And again, under an hour, so it just zips by. Yeah. I mean, you watched it twice in a day. You know what I mean? It just zips by. And
It's great for the
summer.
It's great for the aesthetics.
Yeah.
It's great for the regionalism. And honestly, for the psychology, just like the same as, you know, I've always enjoyed like pre-code Hollywood and films of the 30s. The reason I like it is it makes me feel connected to people of the past because they have more in common than they don't. Like the manner in which they speak is different, right? The styles are different, but I like being able to like connect with them by watching what their priorities were, you know, the way they thought, just the psychology of humanity and how it's changed over time is interesting because I think as somebody who is more creative, it reminds you that you don't have to be the way that the current culture is dictating you be, right? Like it's this way of just making you understand that we're all making this shit up as we go. And so if you are the type of person who is fine with making up your own morality and making up your own behavior and doing as you see fit, I find that it's really interesting and not just encouraging. It just reminds you, like, you don't have to do what the fucking people say. You can do whatever the fuck you want.
Absolutely.
Everybody's been doing whatever the fuck they want. You can let society dictate what you do. You can let yourself dictate what you do. But there are so many approaches to, and how to think and how to behave and how to dress and how to conduct your life. And it's okay if you find one that's not necessarily the one that was handed to you.
No, absolutely. And this whole set is great because not only does it have Wildwood, New Jersey, but it has Mall City.
Fucking Mall
which
City.
Is incredible. There's two extras, Mall City and Girls at the Carnival. Girls at the Carnival is a found VHS that's great. And just literally like these girls going to the carnival, it's totally was never meant to be out in any sort of way.
Yeah, just a home video of some teens walking.
I like
into
when
a
they're
carnival.
Eating eclairs. That's, I like that. Maybe
I know so many
eclair.
Donuts go in the donut shop.
But God, Mall City was something that was made in 1983. Look at a mall in Long Island, Roosevelt Mall on Long Island. Totally perfect companion to Wildwood, New Jersey. Now we're talking a real thing that doesn't exist anymore.
Yes.
Crowded-ass
mall.
Where it was the place to go, and you just went. And again, half of it, probably the most of it, we're picking up girls, we're picking up guys. Like, oh, I met, you know, like.
Yeah, but then we have the septuagenarians, like, sitting at a table playing cards and fucking checking the horse track, or the horse papers, whatever they're called.
So good. And just the way everyone talks about why they're there. Does the fashion influence you? Or like, you know, I like to do my own thing. Like,
give my baby an Easter outfit.
Everyone's going to get an Easter outfit, which is like, I don't even heard anyone say that.
Oh my God, Mike, that's one of my favorite things about Easter.
I know.
That you would get a new pastel outfit and a fucking hat. I wanted the hat every year. I would get a white hat, little white gloves. I love that shit so much. I wish I could just do that now, but that's not.
But I mean, even talking about going out from the Bronx to going out here, it's just a different atmosphere. And just again, just the way everyone's talking,
the guy coming from Westchester to saying it's like safer there,
the regionalism of it is so great. And again, then you have the guy's like, these people should be like reading more and like using their brains a little more. It's like, bro, here's the deal, you have no idea how good you guys all have it. Now we have no idea how good we had it back then when we were disconnected. We were just show up at the mall, you go to the music store, you buy the one CD back then, you buy the one record because that's all the money you had saved up, or you didn't eat lunch 2 days that week, so you had enough money to
stand there reading books in the fucking bookstore, I'm gonna get this when I can.
And I mean, and even like when we've gone, we love going to mall. It's not that it's totally gone. But it's totally different. I mean, there are tons of dead malls.
Yeah,
you know, it now, you know, because of that.
Ghost malls.
What's that?
The ghost malls.
The ghost That's malls. Of course, that is a real
thing.
When
I was a teen, there was a ghost mall across from my high school, and everybody just went and mall walked there.
Wow.
It was crazy.
But we had two. We had an outdoor one and an indoor one, and I liked the outdoor one more. We drove around the outdoor one last time we were back when we sort of did my entire childhood the last time that we went back, which will be the last time, because I
think we went there in like 2000.
We did
one.
We went there again, but it was still so close to when I had left, so it had only been like 3 years since I had not lived there.
Yeah,
this time going back, it had been almost 25 years since I've been there, so it's totally different. But again, it's not like it's like there are obviously plenty of active malls that people are at all the time. It's not. It's hyperbolic to say it completely is gone, but it's not hyperbolic to say that it's, you know, 90%.
It's not the same.
Gone, and it's not the same, and it's not the only place people go. And again, I think the problem with growing up on phones for anyone who's in that generation is that the incentive to go out and meet in person and socialize not on the internet is there's
so minimal
there.
Yeah,
you know, so you have to actually really want to, whereas back then that was it.
Yeah, it's like basically you go to a bar and that's it.
That's how you meet. And now people are afraid to like meet people
coffee.
Like in a bar without having like done an app first, you know what I mean? It's like, whereas this, they're going to the mall to go, you're going to meet girls, and like, I met her here, and they're like, look at those girls over, you know, like, look at those guys over.
That's
there
why you can have a group of friends. Yeah, so you can vet your friends. Look, it's so great. But yeah, I love this. I was a little surprised because it's
83,
about the amount of people into disco, because like, you know, they're discussing wet music, they're like punk, and the other people are like, I don't like that punk, I like new wave, and they're like, oh, new wave, and then, but most of the people were
disco.
Into disco, and then the chick was like, I like Neil Diamond, and I was like, damn.
There was, oh, the two twins in Wildwood, New Jersey, who had the Neil Diamond shirts. That was amazing.
Oh, my God.
Neil
Diamond
in the round, 92. Oh, yeah, that's why I was, I'm pretty sure it was 92.
Dude, airbrush shirts. Oh.
But also, like, another funny thing noted was that when the guy's talking about, like, Stereo Warehouse, we got the best stereos out there, you hear Dexy's Midnight Runners Come on Eileen. And it's just this funny thing where, like, that could still be at any, it is playing at thousands of stores
song
right now.
Song is omnipresent.
But again, so much stuff is omnipresent where it's like songs that like you thought maybe, I don't know, like there was a time I do feel like in the early 90s when 80s stuff did go away and it wasn't as omnipresent. And then at a certain point around 2000, it all came back and it never went away again.
Yeah.
Like you will hear Come on Eileen if you go out now to three stores that play music, like a grocery store, Office Depot, something like that,
you'll hear Come on Eileen.
You will hear Come on Eileen today.
I give it 10 more years. I think it'll be gone soon.
I don't think it'll ever be gone.
You don't think it'll ever
be gone? No,
10
no.
more years. I give it 10 years.
No.
What do you guys think? How much longer does Come on Eileen have?
You forever and ever and ever.
Like, I want to know how much money Dexy's
made. But to me, like, that's
the
kind of stuff that's like stuck nostalgia, right? It's not, that's just sort of stuck.
My God, though, the first time
it's
I heard
not,
that song, I was so fucking taken aback. I was like, this is the best song.
But that's not inspired nostalgia to me. That's stuck nostalgia.
Yeah, that's
you
stuck.
Know?
Yeah, that's right.
But it's just funny hearing it be like, oh, it was new at the time. And now you're like, I still literally hear
that
song.
Yeah, but guess
every
what?
Day.
Depeche Mode nostalgia is not stuck.
Absolutely not.
Depeche Mode
we still will listen
ever.
To Depeche Mode.
Anyway.
And what we say is right, everybody.
That's you know what? I can be stuck. I don't care. My knee's stuck.
Your knee
stuck
is
here.
Stuck. I'm stuck on loving the Wildwood, New Jersey Blu-ray set from Agfa. Incredible. Really, really recommend grabbing it. Of course, like we said, the new Saturn's Core looks amazing. Cannot wait to get that. I'm sure we'll do something on it right away just because it just looks so right up our alley. Ross also said, oh, this is for you. This is right up your alley. I think that's an exact quote. But excited to go through this stack of stuff here, and we will keep everyone updated. Like I said, don't know when the next episode will be because we got to play it by ear as we've been doing all summer, but this one especially. But you know, hey, we'll probably put something out when it's a success just to let everyone know, or you know, even just a post or something, just because you know everyone's been asking and
yeah,
wants
sorry
to make
everybody.
Sure you're doing good. Oh my God.
Everyone look, is, I would rather it not happen, too.
Everyone's sitting here being like,
I don't want to have another dental surgery.
Fuck Tara.
I don't want to have another body thing. I don't know. It would just be so nice to, like, not deal with shit.
But hey, anyway, thanks for the support, as always. We're going to be back with Her Name Was Lisa, whenever that is. And Tara's, who knows the state Tara's going to be
in. Hey, everybody, let's get horny and sad.
I am down for it. All right. Well, hey, make sure that every night is different for you. We'll talk to you later.